On today's episode, we're going to talk about self-confidence, how to boost your self-esteem. We all need a little bit of confidence boost, right? So grab your coffee and let's get into it. Welcome back, everybody. It is another episode of Candidly with Coffee.
We get the 500 yet?
No, we're 496.
Oh, wow. We're getting close.
496. I got my baby Diet Coke, and we are going to crack it on open.
I got my cafe.
Cheers.
Pete's coffee.
We haven't cheers in a while.
I know.
I think that's a bad omen. We need to remember to cheers each other. We have had a day.
Yes, we have. You want to tell them what we ate?
Oh, my gosh. I will get into that, but what I want to say is we're struggling here. We had a little bit of some scheduling conflicts, some issues with the studio, so bear with us if things look a little different. We had to do things a little quickly, and we're doing our best to put an episode out. Days don't always go very perfectly.
No, they don't.
I had to run home because I wasn't able to get into the studio, so I had to run home and like quickly set up to do my client live on from home. And hopefully I was hoping the dogs would cooperate and all of that, which they did.
Yeah.
But on a good note, let's share. I just ate the absolute best piece of pizza that I think I've ever had. I think literally it's probably my favorite slice of pizza that I have ever had.
Slice of homage. No. Homage.
Alyssa,
I keep saying it wrong.
Alyssa told me it's slice of homage.
Slice of homage. No, she's right. I keep saying it wrong.
Because they have New York, Detroit, New York style, Detroit style, and what was the third style? California?
I think it's a Sicily.
Oh, Sicily? So it's an homage to those styles of pizza. And I had the redhead.
Yes.
I think it was called the redhead with a drizzle of hot honey on the top.
Never had that in my life. That's a good concoction that dude thought of.
With their homemade ranch dressing.
Oh, off the chain.
Off the chain. And,
yes.
And we're not done because we bought a calzone as well. And we're going to have that when we get home.
For after, yes. We're some foodies, you guys.
Yeah.
Man, it's crazy the story of the owner, though, how he started. Like he was working, like he worked in different pizza joints and he could never find that taste that he was looking for.
Yeah.
So he said, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to make my own. I'll make it better.
Yeah.
And look at him. And he started in there. Let's tell the story.
He started out of his house. So a relative, I think it was a cousin, is working there. It was interesting because immediately upon walking in, you can tell that it was somebody that loved their job.
Yes.
Or loved working there. Greeted everybody as they walked in. One person, and it's super busy. And he greeted everybody like right away. It was just, I don't know, it was just a different vibe. I'm like, okay, this is not just an employee.
Yeah.
It's not the typical when you walk into a restaurant and everyone looks like they hate their lives.
Exactly. You know that. You go to a restaurant and people they already have an attitude. Like they don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Like, can I help you?
Yeah. So it was not like that. And it was, so we said, hey, like how long you guys been here? Whatever. They've been at this location. They're in downtown San Jose. They've been there for a year. But the owner started out of his house and he started selling pizzas out of his home at first. So no location
from
Instagram.
From East San Jose, born, bred and raised. And crazy thing is I asked him, I go, where's this from? I asked him like, is this from like New York or something? Where's this business from? Sometimes there's chain restaurants. He goes, nope, homegrown, East San Jose. I was like, wow, that's dope. And he told us a story.
Yeah. And I think that the owner has some culinary background and so probably just dibble dabbled with different flavors. And if that's how I can describe it is, you know, how like you're chasing a certain flavor when you bite into pizza.
Yeah.
And that's what I got.
Yes.
I mean, upon the first bite, like there was a party in my mouth.
Oh, you know what also that they do that I haven't seen no pizza restaurant do? Because we ordered the redhead, the Detroit style, the thick one. And then he also, we ordered margarita each. He slices like little bits and pieces of his own cheese.
Yeah.
Instead of the Parmesan, the cheap cheese,
he
grated cheese. There you go. Fresh grated Parmesan. And he put basil on our pizza, on the margarita. And I was like, wow, that really set it off.
It was.
They're hitting.
Yeah. And anyways, we haven't tried the calzone yet, but we are definitely going to go home and have the calzone. But if you are in San Jose, highly recommend Slice of Homage. and you could tell them that you heard it on Candidly with Coffee, but we're not affiliated.
Downtown anyway, San Jose, yeah, on Santa Clara Street. Yep.
I'm just saying, it's nice. We're on this kick. Like, we want to highlight businesses that are, it's hard as a business.
Yes, it is.
So I want to go small business, try different places. And if we love something, that we're going to share it to give, to let other people know it's there. I would have loved to know that this was there over the past year since they've been there. And yeah, I didn't know. Only you found them on Instagram.
I've been seeing them on Instagram a couple of times. And I think I told you about it.
Then you did.
Remember your daughter was craving pizza. And I go, you're going downtown. If you're hungry after having your little fun at the bars, wherever, yep, try that spot on. She did.
Yeah. And you hadn't even tried it yet, but no, you recommended it anyway because you saw it on Instagram.
Yes. Because they were going to the bowling alley next door.
Yeah.
It's like a little bar bowling alley. Mm-hmm. Yeah, social. There you go. So it's right there next to social, right next door.
You guys, I sadly think I'm fighting something. I think Mr. E over here gave me his little virus. Yeah. I feel it. I'm like, each hour that progresses, I feel a little more run down. So again, forgive me. I do not have any time to be sick right now at all. I have so many obligations. I don't know how this is going to fit it. Being sick does not fit into my schedule.
No, I came the other day and did it sick. And I'm sure I didn't sound the best on Wednesday, but it's one of those things where we suck it up, man, because we don't like to miss episodes for you guys.
No.
Unless I'm in the hospital, then I get a pass.
Yeah, I just feel a little like nasally congested or whatever. All right. Shoot, where's my phone?
Let's go.
I didn't bring my phone. Anyways.
Go get it.
There was, because I had a couple of things that I had screenshotted, but that's okay. I think I remember. Hot coffee topic. Ooh. I haven't had a hot coffee topic in a while, but there was, you know, we were just recently talking about how there was a, to not drink the alcohol in the Dominican Republic or whatever.
Yep.
I don't know if this has any correlation, but I'm just throwing it out there. I read a story while we were waiting earlier today that a woman who was totally healthy, normal, coming back from her vacation on the Dominican Republic, got on a plane shortly after the plane took off. She started going into convulsions on the plane and passed away. 42 years old, very healthy American.
Whoa.
Coming right off of her vacation in Dominican Republic. So they actually did an emergency landing at Turks and Caicos, and she was declared dead at the hospital in Turks.
Damn.
They're going to do a full autopsy and disclose like what happened. But it just made me think, I wonder if it's one of those situations where she drank the alcohol or some sort of a contaminated alcohol.
At this point, if I'm going to the Dominican Republic, I'm going to the high-end bar, wherever the hotels are at, they're expensive, and I'm drinking their alcohol. Mm-hmm. I'm not even trusting the local bars or nothing, because you don't know what the fuck they're putting in that stuff.
No.
It's scary. It's too risky.
I would almost order just shots of the specific alcohol that you're, I don't know.
Actually, I'm gonna go ahead and say it. I'm glad I don't drink no more.
Yeah.
Forget it. We don't have to worry about those problems no more, but I'm glad I don't drink. But for those of you who do, be careful, man.
But I don't know. Like I said, I have no idea what her cause of death was, but it's very strange. It's coming off something to do with something that happened in the Dominican Republic. So that's just very strange. But
it is. Yikes. I don't know. Probably the feds. I wonder if the FBI is going to get involved in this.
I don't know,
again.
But I'm sure they're going to investigate it. All right, you guys, moving on to the Hold My Coffee.
Here we go.
Shared this on our live, which, by the way, we had an amazing live last night. So thank you to everyone who tuned in to our live. But I did share it on the live, so I'm resharing it for those of you who've already heard it. But Betty Fitness 5370 says, I follow you on YouTube too. Can I ask why your face is puffy? My aunt said it could be HRT. Is that true? Betty, that is just rude.
It is.
I'm glad you follow. Thanks. But your comment comes off as very passive aggressive and rude. No, this is my face.
She tried to be slick. Yeah. Slick and a mean girl at the same time.
I think so.
Why would you even say that? And what does your aunt have to do with this? Yeah, you want to ask your aunt about it? Look at her face. Face is puffy.
Yeah, that's weird. It's weird. And it's passive aggressive. It screams passive aggressive to me. Really, what are you trying to say? I don't know. It's not HRT. It's
not
my face.
HRT does not cause puffiness in the face.
No, just my genetics do.
She just sounds like a hater.
If anything,
comment.
My face could be a little puffier right now because I just had a slice of homage.
She's lucky. I don't see what her picture looks like. I might go and gas her.
Her profile picture is, of as it would be with any Hold My Coffee comment, or is a cat.
Of course, a cat. But I look like that cat.
I don't know. You're so nice, baby. You're so protective.
You know what I'm saying? I just, Because people talk shit like, okay, let's see what you look like. You're running your mouth. Let's see what you got to show.
Now, and if you didn't mean that to be rude, you need a lesson in how to ask a proper question to somebody. Was just, just a rude question.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just rude. It's just a rude thing to say. To even say, the worst is to say, my aunt said, hey, auntie, come over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at this girl.
Is it that important?
What's wrong with her face?
Yeah. No, that's being stupid. You don't really want me to say what I really want to say.
No, don't. Yeah. You know what? Don't stoop to the level of the commenters that make rude comments.
I know. It's going to come.
I pride myself on not making rude comments to people.
With success comes hate. And I don't mean success on the pod, just in general yourself, just the way we look, our energy, our frequency. People always trying to pull you down. I do. I see it all the time.
This is an innocent comment that written incorrectly, or do you think that it's like a little dig?
Passive aggressive dig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to happier things. Comment corner. All right. The first one comes to us from Diana Collins, 5731. And she says, I am with you. I love you. I love too. Oh, sorry. My brain is like all goofy. I love to do 2 hours of exercise every day and I feel great. Thanks. Love you both. Thank you so much. She was just referring to our last episode where we were talking about how good it feels to get our exercise in and get our.
Yeah. An hour's not enough. Two. I need 2 hours. I need to get the body warmed up. I'm like an old car. Second hour, I do way better. Once my body's warmed up, I train even better. First hour, it's like I'm breaking in, like warming up the metal. It's all not lubricated. Second hour, I do way better. So I'm with her. 2 hours.
All right. And the next one is Kayla Abramson. And she says, like y'all were saying, and I can admit it, I definitely get in my own way. I have all the knowledge and I have no excuse as to why it is taking me so long to reach my fitness, health, and weight loss goals. I was letting any type of stress or inconvenience get in my way. Let it give me permission to procrastinate and get off plan. I was definitely an I'll start on Monday type person. I'm working now on getting my mindset right, doing the hard things, and putting my head down and doing the work. I decided to get some help instead of relying on myself because I finally came to the realization that I can't do everything alone and accountability is key for me. And then she adds, I have the same problem with donuts. I could easily eat half a dozen donuts in one sitting, no problem. But I agree with Mike. I need to just get one I really want and not have access to so many. So on a few things on this. For one, absolutely, you are not alone, Kayla, because many people do that. Many people, it's almost as if they get in this mindset like they can only work on their healthy lifestyle, their weight loss, their fitness goals when life is perfect.
Yep.
Anytime there is a little bit of a wrench thrown into the plans, the first thing they do is forget about it. Always. So you have to think about, why is that? It's because you're not fully dedicated and you're really secretly always looking for and hoping for something. It's almost, are you hoping your trainer cancels the personal training session?
Yes.
You hoping you don't get off the wait list for that Orange Theory class?
Yep.
Are you secretly hoping that? And I think that everyone goes through that at some points.
Yeah.
But it is important to teach yourself to do the hard shit anyway when you don't want to do it.
Always. And that's how you build your unbreakable discipline. Today, mm-hmm. I didn't want to go. I seriously not. I had insomnia. I didn't go to sleep. I think you woke up and went, babe, TV's on. I said, I'm sorry, babe. I got insomnia. It was like midnight. That is late. I do not go to sleep.
Yeah, I was not happy.
Well, I'm up at 6:30, like a little bit before you. You had 6.5 hours of sleep. I'm a little tired. I'm getting over a cold, too. So I'm not 100% there. But you know what? I said, I must go. This is just part of I got to go because I can do it. I know I can do it. Wasn't in the mood, but I did it anyways. And that's how you build that. Your routine, your discipline, you don't get derailed. You have to do it when you don't want to. You must.
Which, by the way, can we talk about that for a second? It's funny to me that you get irritated. You get irritated when I wake up. You were irritated last night. You're like, why'd you just wake up out of nowhere? I'm like, obviously, it's because the TV and the lights are on too long.
Hold up. You do this every night. For years I've known you leave the TV on blaring with everything and it's because I'm watching it. Now it's a problem.
No, but not until like midnight. If
I didn't turn off the TV, you'd leave it on all night anyway, sleeping. You just happen to wake up somehow.
No, I would wake up.
You were
up.
Snoring.
He gets so mad when I wake up and say something. He gets so mad. You'll be like, go back to sleep.
Yeah, then go to sleep. Why are you waking up for? You were asleep snoring a few minutes ago. You do it every day. I'm going to film you one day. I'm going to blast you. Look, talk about the TV. Look, she falls asleep with it every night, blasting since I've known you. Since day one. Your son does the same thing. Both of you guys do it.
Talking about whatever, but it's when I do wake up, that's a problem. Is when I it causes me to wake up.
Stay asleep. TV's wasn't blaring. I had it low. No, stop
it was
lying.
Bright. It's bright.
When you're asleep. I fell asleep many times. If I'm tired and you've had the TV on before you with the TV on, and I've had to turn it off. So.
It's so annoying, though. It's so annoying, and I hate when you do that. Go back to sleep.
I'm not going to go to... I can't fall asleep in the darkness. I need the TV to make me go to sleep.
Anyways, back to Kayla's comment. I do, on the, regarding the donut, I actually thought about this, and I think I want to practice. I want to, one day this week, I want you and I, maybe on the way to the gym or something, to go into the donut shop and pick one donut, yes. Enjoy the donut, work it into our macros.
Yep.
And I want to see... If say let's do it, I want to see if that helps or if it hurts. Does it make it worse? Does it make us want to unravel, or does it calm the beast?
I'm not going to do it on an empty stomach. Though. I'm going to eat some food before that.
No, I would fill up. Yeah. I would always eat protein first. Yes. I would have a. It's just a little treat, like a sugary treat before going to the gym.
I think so, because if you're craving a certain donut, like mm-hmm. why not just have it.
Yeah, I want to do it as an experiment.
Because we've been doing the same thing forever. Saturday is our refuel, cheat, treat day. Call mm-hmm. it what you want. Mm-hmm. Been the same thing, monotonous. Now we need to switch it up a little bit. Sometimes you need to fit it in the middle of the week just to see.
I said, I want to test it. I want to truly document how I feel about it. Did it make me want to go off the chains for the rest of the day, or did it calm the beast? So I think we should try that this week, and we'll report back. Because I think that's a good thing to practice. And I think with anything, practice... is what makes perfect. It's just like my ability to have, I have my glam room / office. I literally have tons of different things that I love to eat. I have like treats and things that are in plastic and Ziplocs. And every once in a while I have one little piece and I log it or whatever. I can truly tell you that there was a time in my life that would not be possible. I would go crazy. I would eat it all until it was gone so that it wasn't there for me to ruin the next day, the next day, the next day. So I am a testament to the fact that it does, with practice, are able to build that muscle, that willpower muscle. Because like earlier, before we left here, it's technically cheat day, so I could go crazy, right? But that's not what we tried to do. I had a tiny little square of chocolate, delicious chocolate. It's a huge bar. I just pulled off a tiny little square just to have a little treat. And I think that you can build that willpower muscle. A lot of people, you know, say, like, does it make it worse for the exposure? And yes, I feel like initially, if you are new and on a weight loss journey and on a new calorie deficit, do not do that. Exposure is a problem. Curate your environment. Get rid of it all. But as you are settling into the lifestyle of maintenance.
Yeah.
Yes, I do feel exposure. It's like exposure therapy. And there's a whole thing about exposure therapy. If you are seeing a counselor or a therapist because you're afraid of elevators, what do? They have you go on elevators.
Yeah.
It's called exposure therapy. So the things that are difficult for you to do are the things you need to do.
This is off topic, but it's similar. Uh-huh. I used to have a fear of flying. I told you that. Palms get sweaty. I get nervous. But after a while... With you, we flew a lot. We went everywhere. It didn't even fucking faze me.
Right.
Even takeoffs would get me a little nervous because you feel a little, how can I say it? Because you're going in the air so fast, you feel that turbulence.
Yeah.
It would get me a little nervous. But after a while, it was like nothing. And then you would be nervous, bumps in the sky. And I'd be like, the way I looked at it, I remember I changed my mindset. I look at it like you're driving on the car, you're in the car and you hit a speed bump. Boom. You're on a boat. We've had boats and you're hitting the water. And that's how I looked at it with planes, mm-hmm. like speed bumps up there. And it didn't bother me no more. And it used to. It really did.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I first got to federal prison, there was a little old lady sitting next to me, and she asked me some crazy-ass question. Talking about, do you think we're in the safest part of the plane? What, lady, I just got out from doing through. Why would you ask me? I was sweating bullets.
Oh, my God.
I was trying not to show my fear. I was scared shitless. You can imagine 3 years locked up and going straight to a plane?
That's too fast.
Oh, but I'm telling you. Because
everything is slow, and the world is fast when you get out. That's what I've heard.
I was so scared. I was scared. It was like a first time being on a roller coaster. Yeah. I was petrified. I was trying to show, and she asked me that question.
You know what I always used to do to calm myself on an airplane is I figured if I look at the flight attendant, and she's flipping through a magazine, I'm fine.
I like that. You're
if
right.
She's if you the flight attendant's that. Flipping through her magazine, then we're good. Yeah. If she's like on the phone and talking, then I'm a little nervous. I'm like always watching the flight attendants and how they communicate with each other from phone to phone and stuff. And or when they get a call, I pay attention. I look at their face when they get their little phone.
You're watching the face.
I'm watching
you're
them.
You're reading their face.
I'm like, if they're good, I'm good.
You're right. Because listen, they fly more than anybody. They've seen it all. They've been through it all. They've been through some scary situations. So if they're not fazed, like, it's no big deal. Nothing's going on. It's a few bumps in the sky. Yeah.
This is exactly why we have the show called Off Topic, because Mr. Yeah. Escobar has a tendency to go completely off topic because we were talking about how to build willpower.
I did.
Mr. Escobar decided to talk about airplanes. And that is why, if you're not already subscribed to us on Patreon, head over to Patreon. We have a show called Off Topic. It's very interesting. Speaking of prison, Wednesday's episode of Off Topic, which is episode 4 already, we dive into the specific events that led up to your incarceration. Also, all of your run-ins, most of your run-ins with the law and what that entailed specifically. It's very interesting. Some things even that I didn't know. So if you guys are interested in that kind of stuff, head over to Patreon. And thank you, Kayla, for your comment, because we're gonna talk more about mindset and willpower and that mentality a little bit later in this episode.
Yes. I like it. I'm going to practice that. Because I've been telling myself that too. Like, why do I have to wait till Saturday? If I'm craving something, make it work within the middle of the week.
Mm-hmm.
My boy did that. He had a pizza. He cheated. He had family. Something happened to him. And he felt all guilty. Don't feel guilty. Just get back on your macros. And he dropped weight this week.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah. As I told you.
All right, moving on. Debbie Herbert, so close to 500. Congrats. We are. We're on 496 now.
Getting there.
Excuse me. I think I can trace my biggest obstacle to a lack of self-esteem. It doesn't seem possible to reach my fitness goals, so I give up.
Don't give up. Got to keep pushing through. Right when you feel like giving up, you have to have self-talk with yourself. Check yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. You know what? You ain't giving up, girl. I'm going to go through with this. So don't stop. Don't give up. I could have gave up recently. I had a crazy episode, medical episode of my stroke, and I could have been like, you know what? I feel sorry for myself, Debbie Downer. But I was like, hell nah, I'm going to fight now. My mindset got tested, so it's a fight. That's how I look at it. Like, I'm swinging. I'm going out swinging. So you got to go out swinging, Debbie.
Yeah, you know what I think about? I think that it's because we look at the big picture. It's too big.
Yeah.
Our goal. It's good to have big goals, but I think it's important to break it down into small, attainable goals so that you can celebrate along the way and build the confidence that, hey, I can do this.
Yep.
I am doing this.
Yes.
I think if you just look at the big picture, it seems like a mountain that's impossible to climb.
Yeah. Like, for instance, when you're on your 100-pound weight loss journey, did you look at the whole 100 pounds? You were like 10 pounds at each way.
I had a goal weight, an ultimate goal weight, but I didn't pay attention to the goal weight necessarily, and I didn't give myself a time frame. I just thought, I just want to make progress.
Make progress.
Make progress.
As long as the scale's moving, even if it's a pound or two, it's still moving, trajecting in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why people have a hard time and they give up on themselves, or they'll start a program, a weight loss journey, for instance, and they'll be like, fuck, I got to lose 100 pounds or 50 pounds. And then I seen the scale move right away. This is too hard. I give up. But if you keep on going and then you figure out consistency wins the race. Mm-hmm. It's all about consistency. That's where people stop. They go up gangbusters, fly, and then they go crash and burn because they give up too quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to be consistent.
Yep. All right. Moving on to the 3A girls. I get derailed when a physical ailment hinders my workouts. Recently, I'm suffering from a pinched nerve in lower back radiating down to my calf, which also creates pain when walking or jumping or squatting. I'm trying to do workouts I can tolerate, but makes me frustrated and not being able to do my regular routine. By the way, I love you guys. You make me laugh and are so real. Yeah, this is what would derail me too. It would be difficult for me if I had an injury. And I think it makes you really appreciate when you don't have an injury or an ailment to work around.
Yeah, I had compartmental syndrome in 2008. From knee to hip, they cut my leg open, drained my blood out. I had a big old, basically got a huge, massive hematoma on steroids on my leg. Had to drain out the blood. And you witnessed it. You saw me. We didn't even really talk to each other, know each other at the gym. I was in bed probably about a good 4 weeks, bedridden. And eventually I said, you know what? Fuck these Vicodins. Get your ass up. I went on crutches. I can only drive with 1 foot. I couldn't drive with 2 feet. So I had a gas brake. So I drove my ass to the gym, got up on crutches, and did upper body. I couldn't do the lower half, so I did upper body. So I need to do something. I need to get moving. So I started doing my upper body. And again, you saw me at the gym on crutches.
Yeah, because I did what that. I could.
So yeah,
I didn't know you, but yeah, I remember.
You got to do what we can do. Work around it.
Yeah, I think you have to work around it. And then you also have to think, okay, that hinders maybe perhaps your fitness, but it doesn't hinder your nutrition.
100% facts.
So what that means is you should buckle down even further on your nutrition. What happens when you can't, when you have to modify gym workouts, or you can't work out, or maybe you have a surgery or an injury, and suddenly it's going to impact your activity level, then you have to alter your nutrition to accommodate it.
Yep.
Your muscles will be fine. They don't begin to atrophy till the 3 week or so mark. Yeah. And sometimes it's actually a nice break for your muscles to take a break. And then all of a sudden you go back and they just fill up really nicely. But yeah, you have to just switch your mindset. But I know, cause this is something that it sucks. Even when lately I've been having this issue on my trap again. They call it tech neck, really. It's from being on my phone and stuff too much. That's been bothering me lately. And it sucks. It's just that when you have a little bit of an ailment, it's harder.
I know what she means. My sciatica mm-hmm. recently mm-hmm. was bothering me.
Yeah.
And previous to that, I didn't get to work out for 2.5 weeks because of my stroke. Mm-hmm. I took a break. So that was tough. And I had to really hunker down and nail down my macros. I couldn't mess around because I'm not moving. I'm not burning nothing. So I'm like, I'm not about to lose what I worked hard for, lose everything. When you're like, don't worry, you're not going to atrophy. I said, I hope not. And again, reinforcing what you said, that break has helped me. I feel like my muscles are coming mm-hmm. back stronger mm-hmm. and I'm feeling out. I mean, you feel me? Deadlift 315 for 10 reps. Where'd that strength come from? I couldn't do that before.
No, I know. Your muscles just all filled up all nicely. They'll feel a little flat, but they fill up. Your muscles don't atrophy that quickly. And as long as you're eating protein if you have to modify the workouts. But yeah, I know it's harder, but then you also have to think of this. If you can do it and at least stay on track during those trials and tribulations, how much easier is it when things are good? It's like you really appreciate when you feel good and you're on point. You really appreciate. It's like when it's the same kind of vein as when if you're traveling and you're doing your best to stay on track while traveling, you're eating out and you're doing your best to try to get workouts in, and it's a pain in the butt. You're trying so hard. You're not doing as good. Suddenly you really appreciate when you come home and it's easy. You can prep I crave this. I love my routine. I love my grocery store. I love that I have control over everything I'm eating. Suddenly you appreciate a whole lot more. So sometimes it's good in a way because it makes you appreciate it when things are good, when you don't have an injury, when you're not sick. It makes you appreciate it.
Yeah. Look at it like this. It's just another test that you must battle. And if you win that test, you win the battle and you get that much stronger. I always say this to my clients. I go, dude, I know. I get it. One of the hardest things to do in life is mastering oneself, because temptation is all around us.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my clients have had trouble with alcohol. Some are food addicts, some drug addicts. So it's tough. But guess what? Once they master themselves, man, they're on a whole different high. It's hard, but you can do it. Just practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's why so much so when you're working with clients and transformation, so much of it does have to do with alcohol, your abuse of alcohol and things like that as well, because it all goes hand in hand. If you do not have control over being able to say no to a drink, excessive drinking, then how are you going to have control to say no to extra desserts and things like that? It all goes hand in hand.
True.
It's self-control.
That's so true.
And mastering oneself. It's mastering your mind so that you call the shots.
Yeah, I like what you always say. There's going to be holidays. There's going to be celebrations. There's going to be birthday parties. There's always going to be something. And if you can master yourself at these celebrations, guess what? So when you go to these other celebrations where it's adult celebrations where it involves alcohol and you can say no, or you can control yourself, maybe have a drink, then you're on your way to becoming a master. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people can't do that. They have one drink, and they go off the rails. One glass of wine is usually not a glass of wine, several glasses of wine.
Right. The problem when it comes to alcohol versus anything else that you try to put boundaries and parameters on yourself, alcohol literally reduces your inhibitions and your ability to control the impulses. It literally has a chemical reaction that's going to make it even harder. That's why with alcohol, it's very difficult to put boundaries. But I do like to play that game with myself, though, in all aspects. I like to play the game of boundaries with myself. I like to say, okay, I'm going to, yes, babe, go ahead and get donuts, but get me two. I've had you do that before.
You have.
Because I like to let myself have something, but give myself boundaries. Then I like to say, okay, tomorrow, yes, we're going to have pizza, but because of that, I'm not going to have anything leading up to the pizza. I like to fulfill my conditions to myself because I'm always practicing, even in the course of cheat day, I'm always practicing the self-control. I haven't felt that loss of self-control around mm-hmm. food in a really long time. There were times I literally felt like I lose control.
Yeah.
Over my life. I've struggled with the binge eating, that kind of stuff, like overeating to the point where I want to vomit and just
where it's not enjoyable no more.
Yeah, and because I lose control. Like I said, I'll never forget, like it was a Easter, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, where my sister's boyfriend at the time bought the most delicious chocolate covered malt balls from that I love. They're like my favorite. My sister gave me a bag of them and I brought them home that night. And I ate the entire bag of malt balls because I couldn't control myself. Yeah. I'm like, these are so good.
Yeah.
Now I've ate half the bag. Shit, I better just eat the whole bag so that today's the only bad day I have. I just lost control.
Yeah.
And I remember my
sister. So you justified it in your head, basically.
Yeah.
A lot of people do. Mm-hmm. Well, I already fucked up, so I'm just going to mm-hmm. trash the rest of the day and go off the rails. Yep.
Yeah. And so I used to do that. But for me, it was bad because if I messed up, say, on a Friday night, then I'd be like, oh, I'll just enjoy myself. And then I would go balls to the wall Saturday and Sunday and eat everything as if it was my last meal on earth. And then I'm just going to be really strict on Monday. I was that person. I did those things. I did a lot of unhealthy tactics to stay thin up until 2013.
Yeah.
Up until 2013, I lost the 100 pounds originally with just like calorie counting. But in order to stay thin, I would stop at nothing and no one could stop me. I would do anything I could, any fat burner I could take, any extreme diet, because I was desperate to not ever become overweight again.
Yeah.
It wasn't until 2013 that I developed a more informed view on nutrition and fitness and exercise, which is odd actually, because a lot of people that compete or train to compete, it's the opposite. They get body dysmorphia.
Yes.
They get like a really bad relationship with food. It was the opposite for me.
Yeah.
It changed everything for me. It changed my mindset on what my body was capable of and all of that. But yeah, I wasn't always the picture of health and nutrition and fitness guru. That's for sure.
And it's crazy because both times after you competed, you didn't go really crazy. You enjoyed yourself. And usually Sunday we go a little crazy, but still mm-hmm. not too bad. And back to Monday, you're back on it. Because most people in the competitive world, they don't know how to stop that runaway mm-hmm. train. It has no brakes.
Yeah, because I learned to do boundaries. And I still practice to this day. I give myself boundaries. I'm like, okay, I will allow this. I always tell myself ahead of time, this is what I'm going to allow. I do not let food control me. I control the food. That's my thing, is you have to be in control. It's my decisions when I choose to eat something. Like today, I like to decide ahead of time, okay, tomorrow we're going to have pizza. I'm going to have pizza and I'm going to have a little bit of the calzone and then I'm going to make the protein dessert. And that's what I'm having. And when I make my mind up, I don't deviate. I don't suddenly have a last minute like, oh, let's go to Taco Bell. Or it just doesn't happen. I usually will make my mind up, give myself the boundaries, stick within those boundaries, and that's it. Sometimes those boundaries are large, like today, it's a bigger boundary, but I still made the decision to do what I'm doing today.
Yes.
I didn't go walk into that pizza joint and go, oh my God. So because it's so delicious, I'm going to have this and I'm going to eat more and let's get another slice. No. I didn't do that. No. I was still hungry after. That wasn't enough for me.
Were you?
Yeah.
Those two pieces weren't.
I hadn't ate all day.
I had
worked out of Orange Theory. I've been up since early. I had a protein bar.
Yeah.
That's nothing. And so, yeah, I could have 100% had more. And
this girl has the appetite of a man.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
So I highly recommend learning the process of always playing little boundaries games with yourself. Like, you know what? I'm going to let myself have a piece of chocolate, but I'm going to let myself have one square chocolate and practice that ability to refrain. Because at the end of the day, I know people say, oh, blood sugar, impulse control, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it is still within our control to grab something and put it into your mouth.
Yes.
You still have the ability to not do it.
Yes.
Even if it's hard.
Don't blame it on the outside world. Don't blame it on your problems.
Your hormones.
Don't blame it on your hormones. Don't blame it on your best friend got you emotional. Stop with the madness. It's you who are in control. You just tell yourself these all these other reasons, but it's you. By the way, I still have the Snickers bar in my
See, in that's the good practice. That's good self-control
it.
There.
I wanted to touch it, but I was like, nah, I don't feel like it. It's still there. Mm-hmm. Sitting there. And that's one of my favorite candy bars of all time. Yeah.
See, that's a good thing. Like having it there, I think that's a good practice. That's good for you. That's growth for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're the one who yelled at me for having the treats on the coffee bar. So I moved.
Because I feel like you're trying to set up your son and I up.
I moved all my treats. They're in my glam room. The funny thing, Tyler will be like, oh, why are you hiding the treats? I was like, because you guys have no self-control.
No, I'm good. I'm not going to. I lost it a little bit during the holidays. I'll be honest with you with the cookies. I don't know why. And they're not even my favorite.
You don't
donuts.
Even love Krispy Kremes. I mean, not Krispy Kreme. What were they? Crumble.
Crumble. I did. The ones your son got, I did. They were good.
Because we got an extra. That was the problem.
That was
we
the
had
problem.
Too many cookies.
Too much.
Yeah.
You got boundaries because they know. They follow us. I'm an extreme dude. What do you call it? When you have ADHD, you're like impulse.
Yeah. You lack impulse control.
So guilty.
Anyways, so let's discuss boosting self-esteem and self-confidence is a gradual process that involves both inner work and outward actions. So let's talk about some practical tips. Let's just have an open, not very structured conversation
nah,
here.
I don't like structure.
Okay, so here's the deal. I do feel that it is important to determine if you struggle with low self-confidence, low self-esteem. I think there's a lot of things you can do to boost it, which we'll talk about. But what, why? I think you need to know why. Why do you have low self-esteem? Why do you have confidence issues? Because if you do not treat the cause, I don't think there's a lot you can do that's going to truly fix that. Like, haven't you seen people go get plastic surgery? They'll do all these crazy things, and then they're still, you know, looking in the mirror and not happy with what they see because they didn't do the inner work. I think it's important to figure out why.
You know what's crazy? I don't know if this correlates, but it used to trip me out. Like, the prettier girls would sometimes be the most insecure. I couldn't put my finger on. Why is she so bad, shit, crazy, jealous, insecure? Didn't miss, you're a beautiful girl. What the hell are you insecure
it's
about?
It's not about your appearance a lot of times.
I'm into you. What are you worried about these other women for? Yeah. It's weird, though. And I think a lot of that, and I know where a lot of that comes from, is a lot of that is either childhood trauma, or they're formerly fat girls who got thin, because I've dated those, formerly fat girls who got thin. You're one of them, but I'm not saying, but you're not, lucky you're not like them, but a lot of them very insecure. We know some too.
Yeah.
I don't want to name no names.
I think that, okay, because yes, I'm from a former fat girl, but I had to stop and think because have there been times when I struggled with self-esteem? Yes, during my period where I was really obese, I was not happy with the way I looked, and my self-esteem was definitely not good at the time. But at my core of who I was, I've always had pretty good self-esteem and self-confidence. I haven't struggled with that. It's not something that has been one of the things I've really struggled with.
Yeah.
Because even times when I wasn't the cutest or the fittest or the whatever, I still had confidence. Yeah. I never felt, even we've talked about like when I was divorced and had two kids, you're thinking like, wow, didn't you think, wow, I'm on the market with two kids. Is it going to be hard to find someone? No, I didn't. I had a lot of confidence in myself. I thought it was a catch.
That's crazy you thought that because in the dating world, I'm not knocking no single moms or nothing with kids, but that brings her stock down versus a woman who hasn't procreated yet.
Right.
And for me, at that time, unbeknownst to me, I thought I wanted to procreate with a woman that has no kids.
Right.
But instead, I found someone that has kids and, you know, fell in love with her. So it didn't matter.
Yeah. I just never thought about it that way. But I do not fault you for making that statement because I can see that perspective. Like, okay, yeah, it's never going to be a plus. Oh, yay, I met a woman and she has another man's kids.
A lot of men also think like, I don't want to raise another man's kids. That's not my offspring.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like that. And it's like that in the animal kingdom. You know that?
Yeah.
It's worse. A lion will kill those cubs on his to go mate with the mother to get rid of them because those are not his offspring. That's so sad.
Yeah.
That's sad. But again, a lot of men think like, it's an attitude like, fuck that. Those ain't my kids. I don't want to raise no man's kids. It ain't my responsibility. But again, it wasn't that I was raising your kids. It's I fell in love with you. You have kids. I'll help you with your kids. I'll be the stepdad. I'll do my part.
Yeah. But anyways, in terms of how it pertains to the confidence conversation, I'm going to move Mr. Off Topic back on topic, is I had to stop and think when I was thinking about this episode, and I think I've talked about it a little bit before because as I've been dealing with the narcissist stuff. And I've been really diving into the dynamics of growing up with a parent who, in retrospect now, has always been a narcissist, and what that means for the roles in the family with multiple children where there's one narcissist parent. And I think the reason I do have confidence is because there were times early on that I fit into the golden child role of the narcissist child, where I was put on a pedestal.
Yeah.
I was smart. I was pretty. I was all the things. Oh, Janine is a star. Janine gets the best grades.
Put you in your cute little dresses.
No, my dad didn't care about my dresses. That was my mom. But my dad would always, like, I was the star. Yeah. You know what I mean? He would always
lamp you up.
He would lamp me up. And there were times, and this role changed. There was several of us, right? This role changed. I think then there was a time where my brother Danny was the star for sure.
Yeah.
And then I moved into another role. But I just feel that I never was the scapegoat child. There's always a scapegoat child that they typically are the ones that grow up with the really poor self-esteem.
Yeah.
I was the golden child for a lot of the time growing up by my narcissist parent, which put me into the higher self-esteem. So it gave me confidence. So even though it's technically a negative, right, to have a parent that's a narcissist, that's the positive that I took from it is that I was always told I was the best.
Yeah.
I was the best at this. I was the best at that. And it also was, I didn't do anything. I wouldn't do anything that I wasn't the best at because I knew I wanted my dad to think I was the best.
Yeah.
So I would only do things that I was the best at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Makes sense.
So it's not, that's the positive thing I gleaned from it is that I have some self-confidence, but it's just sad that it came at that expense of maybe other people in the family not having that.
Yeah.
And because they were a different role.
And then the latter is women with daddy issues, insecurity issues, because they didn't get that kind of treatment or they weren't told they're the best. If anything, maybe they're talked down to or not made feel special or abandonment.
So they're chasing that love. They become people pleasers. But I mean, in a nutshell, what I'm basically saying is that if you have self-confidence issues and insecurities that are deep rooted in child trauma, I recommend seeking help. Get help for that because there is no amount of diet and exercise and wardrobe changes, being stylist, plastic surgery, all the things, hair extensions, eyelash extensions that are going to cure that.
Yeah.
It's not. You're going to do all of these things to try. In fact, I feel that people that really struggle with those traumas, they overcompensate. And that's why they are sometimes the ones overly made up, won't leave the house without makeup on, or just very reliant on all these external things to lamp themselves up.
Yep.
Because inside, they don't feel good.
Nope.
And it's because you have to deal with the cause. You can't just put Band-Aids on it because I don't think no nutrition coach, no personal trainer, no amount of plastic surgery is going to help you.
No.
So that's what I want the listeners to think about is if you struggle with self-esteem and self-confidence, and yes, there are things that you could probably improve. Maybe you haven't met your fitness and weight loss goals, but you don't skip over the inner work that you have to do in order to fix it because I think it comes from the inside first. I think if you fix the inside, and I think we've talked about this, the outside kind of comes. You start treating yourself better. You're nicer to yourself. Then you invest in yourself and so on and so forth.
Yes. Also, I was just thinking about something that made me laugh. Is how many times we used to go on vacation? Let's say we used to go to Vegas. And there's always that one girl who's just always a crier. Always crying wherever they go. There has to be some kind of trauma. Like, why? You should be happy. But it's always you that got to cry every time you go. There's always a crier.
It's because there are people that are dealing... People that are dealing with things, the minute they start drinking alcohol, the traumas come out. Traumas come out.
Yeah.
It's like truth serum.
They bring it on vacation with them, too. Like, you're supposed to be enjoying vacation. Why are you crying, girl? Why? Every time. You know what I'm saying? It's always that one. Maybe even two.
But we've what does that have to do with self-confidence?
No, I'm saying they got to work on that, too, man. Something's shook up in them. They got to work on that. But, listen, I don't have the magic answer for that. I don't know. I've always had confidence, so... Regardless, I didn't have it as a kid. I didn't, not at all. I'd be like, if I could think back as a kid, It's like I was, my dad didn't tell me I was the best. Mm-hmm. Probably neither did. My mother was tough love. But where'd I get my confidence mm-hmm. from? Honestly, fighting kids in the playground, in the streets, because I was scared. I was a scary kid. I was nervous because the neighborhood I grew up in, I didn't feel like I was a tough kid. I felt like I was like easy pickings. Mm-hmm. But once I got like that rage inside of me and I get into it, these kids and I win a street fight, it built my own confidence up. And then playing sports and then again, working out, that built my confidence mm-hmm. at a young age, lifting weights, changing my body.
Yeah, because I feel that how you can build confidence, besides the deep inner work, if you have some like deep stuff, baby, you're sucking on that straw.
Sorry. Just drinking my coffee.
Besides the like deep inner work stuff, the way that you can build confidence is little by little, but by proving to your, like keeping promises to yourself is how you build confidence. Like
yeah.
you make little goals and you're like, you know what? I'm going to do this and I'm going to accomplish this. Because when you accomplish things and you'll build confidence in your ability to accomplish things, even if they're really little.
Yeah.
And then those little things, you can start to get more confident to make bigger goals. And then you grow upon that.
That's true. Little by little. Again, you just got to find. And also, I think, too, is like you said, work on yourself. That builds confidence. Somebody said it recently. You are how you feel on the inside, how you look. Did I say it right? No, I said it wrong, probably.
Hmm?
How you look on the outside is how you feel on the inside.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that's a good way. Every day you wake up and you look in the mirror, are you happy mm-hmm. with what you...
I think that if you identify and challenge negative thoughts too. So what are you telling yourself? Pay attention to your inner dialogue, the things you don't say. Do you look in the mirror and just like, fuck, I catch myself. Like lately, sometimes I'll look in the mirror and go, God, I feel like I'm getting old. Like I feel it. And yeah. I hate that. And so I have to stop that and think... Don't be ridiculous. Like you look good for 48, yeah. but I you have to catch the negative self thoughts and criticisms and challenge yourself and be like, wait a minute, do I really look that old or am I just being hard on myself? Like, I'm sure I'm fine. You know yeah. what I mean? And I think I shudder to think the amount of negative self-talk that people do to themselves
all the time. I remember I heard that from, he's very wise, is Mike Tyson. He used to say, on his podcast, don't say you're a loser. Don't say bad things about mm-hmm. yourself because your self-conscious will begin to believe that.
Yeah.
And he was saying 100%. This was years ago.
100%.
And I was like, damn, I never thought about that. He's right, because sometimes you do feel like that loser. Sometimes you do feel like that person that's unaccomplished. Instead, tell yourself you're a winner. Change your mindset to a winner's mindset. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not having accomplished your goals, flip that mindset. It's powerful. The mind is very powerful. We talked about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you cannot. I think you this.
Practice it, man.
I think that... The things that you tell yourself, would you tell your daughter those things?
That's a good way to put it.
If you are saying or thinking to yourself about yourself things that you would never tell your daughter or that you would flip out if somebody else told your daughter,
yeah,
then you're not treating yourself very well.
That's true. Very true. That's a very good way to put it like uh-huh. that. Never looked at it that way.
Yeah, and so you have to think about that, though, really. And I think because it does start... It starts internal. The whole external stuff starts internal. If you want to start doing things for yourself, exercise and all of that, that's the external thing, actions. But the actions start with how you talk to yourself, number one, how you treat yourself.
Yeah.
You have to be compassionate for yourself. On that token, don't make excuses for yourself, though.
Exactly.
Don't be too like... Oh, you need this. You need the extra slice of pizza or the donuts or whatever. You deserve this.
Oh, you need to take a break or time off. Really? Yeah. Have you earned that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, usually no.
you have energy today? Can you work out? Okay, mm-hmm. maybe your body's sore. Well, go walk. Go get your steps in.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something you could be doing.
Yeah. Set realistic goals. Obviously, that's a common one. Set realistic small goals so that you can celebrate the wins because you need the little pat on the back. Trust me, you need it. It helps. And here's another thing. Acknowledge your strengths. What are you good at? Like, dive into those things that you're really good at. And here's another thing. If you struggle with self-confidence, challenge yourself to learn something new and become really good at it. Like the internet is amazing, right? There are so many things. We learn a skill
yeah.
that's unique and dedicate yourself to becoming good at it. And suddenly that's going to build your self-confidence. Like all of a sudden, yeah, I know how to work this Rodecaster. It feels pretty good when someone walks in here and go, hey, that's a Rodecaster. That's pretty cool. You know how to work that? I'm like, yes, I do.
Yeah. I remember how scared you were of all that when you first got it. You were intimidated.
Yeah. This ISO mini, this thing scared the crap out of me. It sat in the box for a little bit and I would look at it and go, oh my God, that's a lot of buttons.
What I get myself into.
Yeah. But now I feel super confident about it and it does make me feel good.
Why are you so confident about it now though?
But because I learned it.
But by doing what?
Babe, I hate when you ask me rhetorical questions that I can't figure out.
Repetitions, practice. I've told you this. Now you're playing dumb like you don't know. Why does someone build confidence in the gym? Like myself, and you weren't confident when I first met you. Now you are. You've been lifting weights.
No, yes, I know. Over reps. The years. You always say reps.
Everything's reps in life.
It's true. So if you think about this equipment, like anything, walking into a gym or whatever, when I first got it, I was petrified over it. I thought I'm never going to learn this, but I did. And did it give me confidence? Yes. So that is something that this was new to me. It was like a new thing. I think people, they get so caught up in, I work and I do this, and that they forget that, hey, the world is your oyster.
That's true.
What is it? Are you interested in whatever it could be? Or do you want to become a pro at doing makeup? Or do you want to, YouTube has so much resources, but find a little craft or a little skill that you can take one of those master classes on or whatever and hone that skill, because that's a great way to build self-confidence, especially if it's like a unique skill.
That's true. Even me, I've had a hard time learning new things. If you show me and I practice it and I've gotten better with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep challenging myself. I keep learning.
With the computer?
With the computer. Because for a long time, I hated the computer. I was so anti-tech.
Yeah.
Just my phone.
Are you feeling better about the computer now?
A little bit.
Is it getting better?
Yeah, it's getting better. My typing is getting better.
Yeah, your typing's pretty good. It's just the navigating things are a little tricky. But you never had an Apple either. Apple's very different than PC.
Yeah, that's true. I always had a PC.
Yeah.
And for many years, I just relied on you to book us this, look for that, and I got away from it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, my dad, who's 80-something years old, knows how to navigate a computer more than you do.
He put more reps in than me. Yeah. I had a computer. I had a laptop before I met you. I did everything
myself. Oh, I know. Plenty of Fish.
I got away from it. Booked my own airline.
Plenty of Fish, Match.com, whatever. You were a member of three different dating sites.
Yeah, probably three different ones. You want to keep blasting me some more? I was single, to my defense. Sorry.
Are we sucking down coffee? Oh, my gosh, you guys. All right. So learn a new skill. And then, of course, the obvious, take care of your physical health for sure. That is important. You have to me, it is crazy to think that there are people that exercise is not a part of their life. That's insane. Crazy to me.
They're in denial.
That's crazy. It needs to be for survival to be a part of your life. Like, do you want to be on this earth as long as possible?
Yeah.
Then exercise needs to be a part of your life.
And they don't go get their blood work done. They don't check their blood pressure. Like, are you fucking crazy? Like, you could get hit with a heart attack or stroke at any moment, not even knowing. You think you're all good. You're walking around thinking you're all good. Like, you better get yourself checked out. I tell everybody that, to my friends. I'm like, get yourself checked out. Don't get caught slipping, because I was at least ready for my situation. 90%+ of people are not. Their body's not built for it. Their army's not built for it. So they better get ready for it just in case.
I mean, if you practice, take care of your physical health, that's obviously going to help your self-esteem and confidence for sure. Another thing is surround yourself with supportive people that lift you up. Do you have people in your life? And I talked about this last episode, but you have to curate your environment. Do you have people in your life that put you down? And sadly, for a lot of people, it's their parents, it's their spouse. The most prominent people in their life put them down. I also ask you this. If you came from a household where your parents put you down and now you're a parent, I sure as hell hope that you have corrected that and are not now putting your kids down and carrying that on.
Be a better parent. Just because your parents treated you a certain way doesn't mean you got to treat your kids that way. Do better. Learn from their mistakes.
Yeah. No one's perfect. I'm not a perfect parent at all, but I do every once in a while too, especially since I've had this revelation about my dad's narcissism, and because it's late in life, right? But in retrospect, he's always been this way. And now it just brought everything to light. But
yeah.
Sometimes I think I freak out and thinking, oh my God, because he raised me to be confident. And am I a narcissist? Like, I've asked myself that a few times. I think I've even asked Alyssa. I'm like, I'm not a narcissist that much. Mom, no. But it's scary.
You better know who the hell you're married to.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? I wouldn't put up with no goddamn narcissist. Are you crazy?
I know, but...
You know my personality.
No, but it does... I stop to think I'm not, right? Like, no. I actually... Because a lot of times you're a product of your environment. I think I took after more of my mom, though.
No. Yeah, you did. Exactly. She wasn't. So you don't have to be like your father. Tony Robbins had a brother, a raging alcoholic father. Guess what? He didn't take after his father, but his brother did. You don't always have to be a product of your parent.
All right. So another thing, then this is hard for people, and I know it's hard for me, but in order to boost your self-confidence and self-esteem, you have to get out of the comfort zone. You have to get out of your comfort
zone.
That's
the hardest for everybody. They're stuck on that couch and just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or I used to like to say, like, you're stuck in the kiddie pool and you don't want to go into the deep end.
Yep. They're stuck at their job. They're stuck at, they're doing their same workouts every day. They're stuck at the, on the elliptical machine doing level 4 for 20 minutes every day.
Because
that's what they're comfortable doing.
And guess what? You're not stimulating your mind. You're getting bored. Mm-hmm. You're tired of it. You're hating it. This is not stimulating because you're not challenging yourself. You're not switching things up. You're in your comfort zone. You got to get out of the comfort zone. You must.
And then, of course, on the heels of our last episode is practice that positive visualization. Picture yourself confident, being really successful at the things you love doing. Visualize it, see it, like see that person so that you can work towards being that person.
Yep.
And see and picture the work that you need to do in order to be that person that you want to become. If you see yourself doing it and you can picture yourself doing it, you're going to build confidence. Like I used to do that when I used to have to go up when I worked at Netflix and I would have to stand up in front of the all hands meeting because it was my turn to present for the finance department. You guys, I hate public speaking and I would have all this anxiety leading up to it. But every day I kept picturing myself up there doing it.
Yeah.
And I would just over and over, I would picture myself doing what I was dreading doing. I just kept picturing it over and over. I was reenacting it in my head. I still do it to this day. I still do that when I'm nervous about something and it helps. I killed it. I was able to do it. So then you get up and you do it. You've done it so many times in your head that you get a little bit more confident about you actually have to do it.
That's true. I think you did one not too long ago, a few years back when you had to go to Miami or somewhere. Or Florida.
I did. And I was nervous.
And you were telling me how nervous you were. I go, no, you got this. You just practice it in your head. I kept telling you.
Yeah, I was at a convention and I did a macros. Like I taught people about macros or whatever on that. And it went well. It went really well. I felt good. I felt confident. And I felt really good after. It was such a high to accomplish that and to know that I pushed myself out of my comfort zone. And then I succeeded. I did well. And it built so much confidence. I thought, okay, it's going to be so much easier to do it next time.
Exactly. I remember the first time that I got put to the test. It wasn't public speaking. It was asked to teach a class at 24-hour to do a boxing, like cardio class. I'm like, yeah, you should do. I finally agreed to it. But holy mother, like, listen, you're going to be nervous your first time. You're probably going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it. Just deal with it. You'll get better. And they're right. At first, I was deathly nervous. Oh, my God, am I really equipped to do this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a trainer, personal trainer. I'm not a class teacher of any sort. But over time, got that class packed, and it was like autopilot.
You're good. I think you're great at teaching. You just have a patience about you, and you have – it's crazy because in actual life, you're not a real patient person. You get all amped up. But when it comes to teaching, especially something you're comfortable – a skill you're comfortable with, you're calm and you're good about doing it. Like you taught, didn't you help teach my kids to drive? Because I couldn't. I'm not calm and I'm very tense.
Yes,
and
I did.
Yeah,
both of them.
They didn't want to drive with me.
No, I taught them both how to drive.
Yeah.
And they both passed their test on the first
time. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. I was terrible. I drove with Tyler one time and he was like, never again.
You freaked him out. That's why. Because you're too jumpy. You're too skittish.
All right, you guys, hopefully you got some nuggets on how to build self-esteem and self-confidence. The good thing is, if you struggle in that department, which many of us do, it's not permanent. It doesn't have to be permanent. It is definitely something that you can build, and there is like a light at the end of the tunnel. But like anything, if you don't focus on something, you're not going to improve it. What you focus on gets improved. Yeah. So you have to decide, hey, I want to build my self-confidence. I'm going to do some things to help it. And then you work on it. Because if you just ignore it, it's not going to get any better.
Nope. You got to work on it, you guys. Yeah. Again, like she said, get out of your comfort zone. And yep. Kaylee Abramson, get out of your own way.
Get out of your own way. All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Candidly with Coffee. And if you are one of our VIPs over on Patreon, then we will see you on the after show.
See you.